Welcome to another inspirational message from Hillsong Church, London.
It's really good to be here in Bermondsey and to be a part of the service in the morning. Been here before, but it's growing. It's good to see that. I want to get straight down to what I want to say today. I was watching a show recently where they did a test on some people and they took a red plate and a white plate. These plates were the same size, they were the same plates, but the people they brought into the room were given the same colour food. They were given red, sort of like a pasta dish. And what they found out was that people who had the red plates took something like about 40% more of the food put on their plate than a person with a white plate. What they discovered, of course, was that the colour of the food was blending into the plate, so you couldn't tell how much you had on your plate. That's a matter of perspective. It's the way we see things. And it's amazing how that can affect who we are and how we see things. Some of you would have seen this picture before, which is also a matter of perspective. This lady here. Now, what do you see? Do you see in that picture an old lady or do you see a young lady? How many see an old lady in that picture there? Some hands up. How many see a young lady in that hand? More see the young lady, because that's because we've got a whole lot of young men who want to get married here. So it's a matter of perspective. It's a very common one, this one. And this perspective thing is quite interesting. I was also listening to a guy who was watching an illusionist, a magician. And this illusionist would come out and he'd do a show for about 40 minutes and then drop a curtain over his body and within a matter of seconds appear again with a bowl in his hand with goldfish swimming in it. Everybody wondered how this illusionist managed to do, within a few moments, a goldfish bowl in his hand. What they found out later was that for 40 minutes, he had managed to carry a bowl of goldfish in his legs like this and did a whole show for 40 minutes. And when the curtain dropped, out came, he took out the bowl. See, that's a matter of perspective. It's how you see things. You would think that that was magic and it was special and unique, but actually purely perspective. You know, in the Bible, we've got some perspective. You can get rid of that lady now. We've got some perspective issues as well. One verse in the Bible tells us that when Jesus was being resurrected from the tomb, there was one angel. One gospel writer said that there were two angels, and one gospel writer records there were no angels. Now, this has caused confusion for some people, because a lot of people who are a bit antagonistic maybe to the message of Jesus and what the Bible is have used those sorts of what they call mistakes to say that the Bible is not quite as true as it should be. But actually, this is a matter of perspective. You see, the thing about Scripture is that it's not written by the hand of God in a controlling manner, where God took the hand of the writers and forced them to write, but rather it is a perspective of the writer that God ordained to be fit for us to read. So in other words, if somebody walks into this room and is standing over there and there's a pillar in the way, they might not actually see me on the platform. They might say that people were just looking at a screen because they can't see me because the pillar is in the way. That's an issue of perspective. Somebody else might be looking from this angle and see it completely different and see your faces when others don't. That's a matter of perspective. Do you know that everything in the world today is pretty much about perspective? But one thing is for sure, we can be rooted in the Word of God. We can know that that Word is reliable, that that Word is given by God, and God has superintended the writers of Scripture to make sure they have perspective, but His Word comes through. I love the Scripture. I love what it means. And today, when it's under so many attack by silly ideas such as perspective and not understanding it, it seems strange to me. One thing I know about the Word of God, and I've always sort of carried this idea in my heart as a young Christian, there's three things Scripture does. The first is it's a mirror to me. I love the fact that when I read the Word of God, I don't see somebody else's life, I see my own. When I see the struggles and trials of other people, I see my own struggles and trials. I see the problems they faced are really my problems. I see people in Scripture that are not much different to me and you. These men and women of God did great things, but they had the same issues we had. It's their story of overcoming and their story of how God helped them through those difficult times. I love that about the Word of God. Let's not undermine the power of the Word of God because somebody wants to attack a perspective issue. I love the fact that the Word of God, as it's always been to me, is a lamp, the psalmist says, to my feet. It's a lamp. I can see where I need to go. In this day and age of such confusion and issues that cannot be solved or answered and people have no sense of purpose or direction, we have a lamp unto our feet. It's not a lighthouse. It's not a torch. It's a lamp. As I move forward, I can see where I need to go. Get your perspective rooted in the Word of God. Have your perspective framed by the Word of God. Let the Word of God be your perspective. The third thing I love about the Word of God is Jeremiah said, it's a hammer to me as well. There's times when I read the Word of God and it just knocks me fair on the head and says, are you right here? What's going on? Sometimes the heart gets a little cold or a little chilly. It becomes a block of ice or maybe a little bit rocky. The hammer of the Word of God can knock that stuff straight out of you. You don't need something from else outside this world to get that experience. You can have it through the Word of God. Read the Word of God and you'll change your perspective. You'll see things completely different. It is a mirror, it's a lamp, and it's a hammer to we who follow Jesus. I love that about God's Word. But perspective still remains the major challenge, doesn't it? Even history is a perspective. Really, when you study history, all you're studying is the perspective of some writer who studied that particular person, time, or event. It's not necessarily the truth of it all. I've discovered this in my own life, and you need to discover it in yours, I hope, as well, is that today we need to start journaling our own stories. I think sometimes with our perspective in history, we've tended to look at the journaled histories or written histories of many famous people, people who have influenced the world, and we look at that and say, what am I compared to that person? But let me say this, that is purely an issue of perspective. I reckon some of you have stories that are historical stories. If you just wrote them down and recorded that for posterity, what a great thing you would have. Because all history is a journalist or a researcher's perspective. We talk about the great grace age of Luther. 100 years before Luther, though, was a man called Huss. Huss wrote exactly the same things that Luther wrote. Huss said exactly the same things that Luther said. The difference was somebody in history took Luther and in a perspective and in a moment and in his lifestyle and what he did and changes made him the great message of all time, which he is, but Huss had already said the same things. It's all perspective. Even the news is perspective. This is the challenge of watching news today. CNN, constantly negative news it stands for. You know, that is just a perspective. When you see the news, it's not truth. It's an angle, it's a picture, it's a window frame of how someone else sees what's going on. Are you getting this? It's all a perspective, but we can be deluded by perspective. And if in the news recently, you will have seen things that actually are a perspective, but have now been used to, I don't know what you could say, but bring a perspective that's probably not really true. The media has a great way of, don't they, of taking certain moments and blowing them out of proportion. Journalists have a great way of using words to describe things that really aren't quite right, but it's their perspective. We have to watch perspective all the time. Because I think at the end of the day in our lives that we work with, we deal with the problem of perspective almost every single moment of our life. What is perspective? Well, as I understand it, it is purely a window frame, nothing more, nothing less. It's how you see your world. It's how I see my world. Some people have very small window frames. Other people have massive window frames. Some people have window frames so small that their perspective is shunted, blunted, and corrupted. Others have window frames that are huge and massive and can see all the beginnings and the ends. I know in educational terms, I had to gain some perspectives. I was studying theology at the time, but I started to figure out actually what we need to understand is leadership. And in those days in the church, leadership wasn't a big subject. It wasn't something you could pursue in a way that really it was more biblical ideas. And I wanted to get what I would call the A to Z of leadership. So I went and did a secular degree in this and still don't really understand it all. But I needed the perspective of not just a little narrow view of it, but rather a big view. And I've learned to understand that all the time I'm dealing with problems of perspective. The way I see things, the way you see things are completely different things. Neither right nor wrong. They are simply a perspective. You might be here today for the first time. You might have come to this service and maybe for you it's all new. Maybe it's the second, third time. Trust me, you're looking at through the window of your own perspective. Yeah. Your window frame is cutting out for you the image of what you believe it to be. And so your response to what is happening today is based primarily on a perspective. Not what you believe to be true, but rather your perspective, your history and your experience on something. And really, for us to move forward in anything in life, sometimes that perspective has to change. Sometimes that window frame has to be rebuilt. Sometimes we need to find a completely different window to look through. And when we start to take that journey, I think we start to become better people. Hello? Maybe you've been a Christian a while. Maybe you've been around for a long time and you've got a perspective. It's fixed. It's done. Well, I've got that perspective. But maybe in this day and age of what's happening in the world and God's economy, you need to find a bigger window frame. This is what I love about working in the world of the Hillsong churches and the Hillsong family is they are doing something. This is not just a moment of church life. This is making history and will go on for hundreds of years. And people can stand on the side and throw rocks and ask questions and do all that's all good. But I'll tell you at the end of the day, this is something that God is doing in the world today and it's changing people's perspective. I love that about being in the Hillsong world. And by the way, of course, many other churches too around the globe that are doing awesome things as well. It's not just this one, there's many more. It's a fantastic day. When you watch Gary speaking up there on what the church is wanting to do, talking about the heart for the house offering and how they can use that to bring greater openness and connection points to all the campuses, not only in London, but I guess around the world. What a fantastic moment we live in. Let's open our window of perspective in a greater way. I've looked in the scripture and I've discovered for me there's probably about three main perspectives we carry. And so what I want to do today is start working with some scriptures, and they're very long. So I've got a lot of scripture here. So what I've done is I've got the guys to put it on the screen for us so you can follow with me. But they're really interesting stories. Are you ready for this? The first one is 1 Samuel 17, 25 to 32. There it is there. Now the Israelites had been saying, now this is talking about David. David's coming down, isn't he? And he's seeing the Goliath moment. So he walks in and he sees this great giant shouting at the nation of Israel and he's wondering what's going on, and this is the story that unfolds. Do you see how this man, Goliath, keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. On top of that, he can have his daughter in marriage and his family will be exempt from taxes in Israel. Now that's a pretty good deal. Have a look at that deal. The guy who kills Goliath is going to be filthy, stinking rich. The king will give them great wealth. You're going to get the daughter. Now, let's hope the daughter's a pretty good one. You don't know there, do you? You don't like to say, that's not a deal. Anyway, daughter, and this one I love. I live in Denmark where we pay about 48% tax. Tax exempt. That would be, wow, I tell you, that would be cool, wouldn't it? To be tax exempt. Never be taxed again. Every time you go and buy some food or a meal, there's no VAT on it. There's no personal tax. That's the deal. David asked the man standing near him, tell me again, what will be done for the man who kills the Philistine and removes his disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of God? You got a bit spiritual there. Sort of, you know, this is not good, but just tell me again. They repeated to him what they'd already said and told him, this is what will be done for the man who kills Goliath. Goes on to say this. When Eliab, David's older brother, heard him speaking with the men, he was pretty upset at him and asked, why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle. Now what have I done? Said David. Can't I even speak? He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter, and the men answered him as before. What's the same matter? His brother is getting really tough on him. David sort of ignores him and goes back to the same matter. What's the same matter? Tell me again what's going to be done for the guy who kills him. That's the same matter. Isn't that amazing? Some of us have a perspective that David killed Goliath because he was anointed. He carried the presence of God, full of the Holy Ghost and power and wisdom. And he charged down there, a mighty man of valor. I want to tell you here something. I think David killed Goliath because he wanted great wealth, the daughter, and tax exemption. He was after the reward. And three times, the Bible tells us that's where David went. That's what David thought. That's what was David's attitude. In fact, actually, when I look at the life of David, to be honest, whilst he was a man after God's own heart, I think we've overrated who David is. He made some big blunders in life, man. When you look at how David worked, he was really quite a self-centered guy. He was really about his own doing, yet at the same time able to show God's heart in all he did. But let's not have a perspective on somebody like David that's actually not quite correct. Now, it is true that David was able to go and fight this giant with great skill. He said, I've killed a bear and a lion with my own hands. I know how to do this stuff. He was skilled. There's no doubt about that. But he was very much interested in his own deal. I call this one the personal perspective. You know, we all have it, don't we? That sense of, it's all about moi. That's French for me. It's all about me. This day and age, we have these things called selfies. Have you noticed that? Selfies? Isn't that funny? Do you know what a selfie is? It's when you take a photo, you touch the screen and you reverse screen it and you get yourself in the photo. Why isn't it called reverse screen? Why is it called selfie? Well, it's easy because it's about self. It's about me. It's about who I am. I want to be in the photo. And I don't know about you, but I seem to find a lot of people who do a lot of selfies. Man, it's all about them with pouting lips. I don't know what that one is. What is that one? It's a strange thing. In fact, the worst type of selfie has to be the selfie with a selfie stick. So now it's called a selfie stick. It's not just called like a stick. It's called a selfie stick. This is the worst moment of a selfie stick. I took this photo myself in Istanbul. Look at this picture here. This is a person with a selfie stick talking on the phone with the selfie stick. Can you be more selfie orientated than that person in the middle of a city of 11 million people bumping into you as you're on your selfie stick? You know, I think what David's story brings out to us is something very powerful, and it's this. We don't really see things as they are. We see them as we are. We don't see things as they are. We see them as we are. And this is this issue, isn't it, of self-denial sometimes, or dying to self, or sort of getting rid of me. And it's a tricky one, because I think in terms of Bible and in terms of how we live, in terms of how we do life, it's really hard to deal with this one, because death to self is not a pleasant experience. How do you die to yourself? Do you plunge a knife, spiritually speaking, into your heart and die? Well, then there's no more of you. Christians walk a fine balance all the time between showing up as who they are, but making sure the message of Jesus is shining through. But you know, sometimes we lean over to the selfie stick moment and it's all about me. We are into the digital radio program, the FM radio program, WIIFM. What's in it for me? It's quite normal. David was like that. There's nothing wrong with it. It's a perspective. But ladies and gentlemen, as we leave this place, we have to start changing our perspective on who I am. I am not the center of the world. I don't know why people think they are. Many people think they're the center of the world, that God shines out through them. N.T. Wright wrote this. Some people think that God floats around them, but the truth is we float around God. See, it's that change of perspective. It's walking every day in the understanding that death to self is not becoming the walking dead. And walking through life, I have nothing anymore, but rather showing up as who you are, but making sure the cause of Christ is shining through as well. And it's that fine balance, but the cause of Christ should win out every time, because that's our perspective. But if you win out every time, or I win out every time, the perspective is something completely different. Are you getting me? We have to deal with the personal perspective all the time. Here's another passage I think that's quite interesting, found in 2 Kings 7. There it is up there. Now, what's going on in this situation is that the nation of Israel is at war. Well, the problem is the Arameans, who they are fighting at the time, are a rather large army, and they're finding it difficult to win this battle. Well, at the same time, as they're locked in the city, there's these guys here, these four men with leprosy. Now, that's not a good start to your life, is it, to have leprosy? In fact, in those days, leprosy was, you know, you were isolated from community, you were put outside the walls of the city, you had no chance of doing much with your life as a leprous person. That physical formation problem where your fingers and your toes begin to lose the sense of touch, and before long they become gangrenous and fall away. There is no power in them anymore. And so you could see leprosy, but you could also know the starting of leprosy. So these four men, they had a really miserable start, leprosy. So they said to each other in the middle of this war, why stay here at the city until we die? If we say we'll go into the city, the famine is there and we will die in the city anyway. If we stay here, we will die. So let's go to the camp of the enemy, the Arameans, and surrender. And if they spare us, we live. If they kill us, we'll die. That's pretty good, isn't it? Either way they go, they're going to die. So they decide to go to the camp of the enemy, these four lepers. At dusk, they got up and went to the camp of the Arameans. When they reached the edge of the camp, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army, so that they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittites and the Egyptian kings to attack us. Next verse says this. So they went. They got up and fled at dusk and abandoned their tents and their horses and donkeys. They left the camp as it was and ran for their lives. The men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp, entered one of the tents and ate and drank. Our men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate, they said to each other, why stay here? Something's gone wrong with the verses. Something's gone wrong with the verses. And I don't know what it is. But we will fix it for the next time. What they basically said at the end of it is that they conquered the enemy through their own desire to overcome their initial problem. You see, their perspective was problem-centered. And isn't it amazing when you reach the stage of being problem-centered in your perspectives? That your perspective is always about your own problem. Now, that's almost the same as the one before when it's about self. But problem perspective is more, this is the reason I can't do something. I have a problem perspective. Look at these lepers. They had a problem. They were leprous. There was famine in the city and there was war going on at the same time, but they overcame the problem. See, Christianity isn't telling you that there's going to be no problems. It is an overcoming message that says there's something you will come over, and it's called your problems. I think many times we don't achieve what we want to do because of our problem-centered lives. I wrote this down. What you see is determined by what you look at, but also what you look from. If you look and I look from my problem, you'll never do what these guys did. If they looked from their problem, they would be arguing why they couldn't do what they wanted to do. They would be arguing it's impossible to achieve what we want to achieve. They would be arguing it's useless to attempt anything for God. But they didn't look only from their problem. They looked at that sense of, let's have a go anyway. Let's change our perspective. We can do something great here if we want to. We don't know what's going to happen, but we won't let the problem hold us back. Let's go to the camp of the enemy. When's the last time you went to the camp of the enemy in the midst of your problem? Do you know, this year for me personally, just to be a little bit personal, probably has been one of the worst. I've been in ministry and a Christian over 40 years. Probably one of the worst years ever. You get them. Life's like a movie and you get these down moments, you know. Not down, but things just don't go the way. You know, at the beginning of the year, I broke my toe. Now, I don't know if you know this, but breaking a toe is a very painful thing. I don't believe in playing sports. I believe it's basically demonic. I've said this to a lot of people, but I was out playing soccer with my son, and as I kicked the ball, I hit the ground instead of the ball and broke the toe. It was just flopping there like that. I had to stick it together with some tape, and hopefully, even today, all these days, it's the year when all the things in our house broke down. You know, every single thing, they got electrical demons or something, I don't know, but everything just decided to pack up on us, and it just went on, and it's still happening now. It's the year when I go to the doctor and they say, oh, you've got two skin cancers on you, you've got to take them off, and there's one on top of your head, we've got to get that off too. It just goes on and on. It's the year when the doctor says, you've got high blood pressure and cholesterol problems, what the heck are you doing? I said, I eat a lot of pork belly. Well, that's not good for your cholesterol, you've got to cut that back. It's just that year. But you know something? I've been around long enough to know this. Don't ever stop driving yourself to the camp of the enemy based on your own problems. I remember my wife and I, she pastors a couple of churches in Denmark, and she founded those churches. And some years ago, many years ago, we went through a really, really difficult time as well. There's some stuff going on. And we woke up one morning and we said, if that's the way it's going to be, enemy, devil, whoever you are, we're going to work even harder, even stronger, even faster, because our problem will not dictate our perspective. Do you know problems are like activating events? You have activating events. There's things that happen in your life that aren't so good, and they're not very good. But activating events can then affect your belief system. Your belief system then affects how you feel, and your feelings affect how you behave. You can't change the activating event, but you can change your belief system. You can change what you believe about that thing. Yeah. Friends, I encourage you, do not be a problem perspective person. Have you noticed people sometimes, whenever you meet them, their first talk is about their problem? Yeah. It's about the challenge they're facing and the stuff they're going through. Yeah. Got one more. Can we do this one? Acts chapter 1, verse 1 to 18 says this. The apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. Now, this is an amazing moment because the word of God has been received and, you know, it's what they dreamed of. It was going to touch many people. And you've got great men like Peter hanging around this thing. They've been believing this for all time and it's starting to happen. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, you went into the house of uncircumcision and men and ate with them. Starting from the beginning, Peter said to the whole... Verse 4. Starting from the beginning, Peter told them the whole story. I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, birds. Then I heard a voice telling me, get up, Peter, kill and eat. Next slide. I replied, surely not, Lord, nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth. The voice spoke from heaven a second time. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. This happened, note this, happened three times. Three times, and then it was pulled up to heaven. Here is Peter, who's been hanging around with Jesus for so long it doesn't matter, hearing the message of the gospel. As a Jewish person, his perspective is predetermined that it's only for the Jewish nation. All the riches and glory we receive by the grace of God today, he saw as being limited to his own people. He had a predetermined perspective. Three times it took before this man who had walked with Jesus got the story of the message of Jesus, that it's not for a few, it's for whosoever. Three times. Now, pause a minute. If Peter can have a perspective like this, that's so predetermined, he needed a vision, and three times he had to hear, how much more do we have a predetermined perspective? Man. It's prejudgmental, isn't it? You just have made your mind up, that's the way it is. I'm sorry, but religion does that to people, even Christian people who are religious. They get into predetermined perspectives. I've thought to myself many times, what's the secret to changing or getting rid of a predetermined perspective? There's only one thing, and it has to be change. The willingness to change. And there's two types of change that are needed in this room today. The change of a religious mindset. You've maybe been a Christian for a long time, and you've been around a long time, and maybe you know your Bible backwards and in and out, but there's a predetermined perspective, and you just can't get over some stuff. And it's just stuck there, and you're trying to get it. You're trying to get what God said, but you've got a predetermined decision. How do you deal with that? You've got to change. You've got to be willing to have a moment where you say, God, I need to change my perspective. But the second type is those of you who are here today who maybe are not Christian. Maybe you're backslidden, and you've got a predetermined perspective on Jesus, the church, what it all is. And you've come today for the first time, or you've been here a few times, but you've got this window frame on how the church should be. And you walk in and say, this is not church. Where's the cross? Where's the candles? Where's this? Where's the robes? Where's all the rest of it? Predetermined perspectives can keep you out of the change moment. See, Jesus came into this world and he said, I want to talk to you about being born again. It's another one of those words or terms that is misused and mocked. But it literally means have another chance at life. Have another opportunity in life. Change your moment or your perspective. And that's why some of you have friends who are sitting here today who are different people today, because they had a born again experience or they changed their perspective. And before we close this service, many of you will have an opportunity to change your perspective. Because let me help you here. It's predetermined. If Peter can have one, all of us can have one. And maybe you've come with a hard heart today, backslidden, away from God. You used to be in the house, but today, well, who cares? You know, I'll come because my friend invited me, but you have a predetermined perspective. Today, why don't you open yourself up to change? Just an opportunity for the heart to see things another way. Maybe for God to speak to you and turn you in another direction. Just a perspective shift that can change everything about you. That's what I love about opportunity to travel, meet new cultures, meet new people. All the time I do this. Why? Because it's a power of a change moment. And before we close today, I want to give many of you an opportunity to simply change a perspective. Let's sing, shall we, as the team comes forward now.
This is the end of this podcast. We hope you have been challenged and inspired. For more information about Hillsong Church London, please visit hillsong.co.uk.